Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What a privilege it is to be here. And I am delighted in being present among you and being able to accept your gracious invitation. It was more than a few years ago that I graduated from this seminary, and when we gathered for chapel, it was in the old Winneken Auditorium. There was a beautiful Holtkamp organ in that room in those days, but I don't believe the seats have changed. No matter how you try to sit in them, we never were comfortable. Last Friday evening, I attended our district's junior high youth gathering. More than 500 junior high kids were gathered at this wonderful lodge along Lake Erie near Huron and Sandusky. You try and picture that for a moment, 500 kids, junior high, in one place. It actually was back-to-back with a similar get-together downstate just a week earlier. It sounds like a commercial, but it actually is the largest junior high youth gatherings in all of Synod, and more than a few pastors were there from Friday evening till Sunday afternoon. I was invited to speak to them. Now, normally when you're invited to speak, you think you'll be on about, 7:30. At a junior high gathering, you're put on the agenda at 10 p.m. And the kids were still going strong, and they had been warmed up by a band and singers and all sorts of other events, and now I was introduced to them, and I was asked to speak to them. They introduced me as President Bergen, and that really put puzzlement on their face, and so I had to begin by saying, I'm not one of those presidents like Clinton, so we have to talk about this a little bit. And I tried to explain to them who I was. And I'm going to give you a little excursus on this. President is one of these words today in our church circles, which is an in-house word. And it's not too useful, even for explaining to our kids or for the rest of the world out there. I'm one of these advocates that say we ought to be using the word bishop. It's a little bit of an excursus. But what's interesting upon that is if you knew the old term was praises, and that made some sense, but we lost a lot in the English translation. Anyhow, I stood up there and wanted to make my introduction. I said, let me try and explain to you what we're talking about, and I'm going to give you an organization chart so you see what's here, and you see all these line relationships. I said, Jesus Christ is at the head of this chart. He is the Lord, the ruler of our life. Then the next one right below that is all the junior high kids in Synod. They're next in line on this chart. And I said, let's continue with that organizational chart. Then we get to all of the congregations, and we get to the youth counselors. That's how the organizational chart continues. Then I said, then we get down here on this part, this lower part. That's where all the pastors are. And I said, then we go all the way to the bottom of the chart, and I said, that's where I am. And I said, my job sometimes is to catch people when they fall and hold them close, and sometimes it's to give them a little prod and a little bit of urging. But I said, that's what this is all about. Let's talk again about the servant's heart and the pastor's heart. Once more, Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. When we are called to be pastors, we are called to the pastor's heart, the servant heart. It's the willingness to walk from the tomb, from the cross to the open tomb. It's the willingness to walk with our people through the suffering Christ to the power of the resurrection. It's the willingness to laugh with our people and to weep with our people. It's the willingness to share the balm of life and love called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's good news because it brings forgiveness of sins daily. It offers strength for everything we encounter every day. And it gives us that promise of heaven itself. If it means the willingness to laugh and to weep, it means attending a lot of confirmation parties. If it's the ability to weep, it's to stand in the pulpit at the funeral of a very dear member As you start preaching, it's to choke and to hold back the tears as you preach with your people, and that's the servant heart. The scripture talks about our Lord emptying himself, set aside his divine prerogatives for the sake of our salvation. And the pastor with the servant heart very often sets aside title, vesture, and aura. Because the truth is, your people know who you are, and God knows who you are, and your wife knows who you are, and your district president knows who you are. It's the ability to stand alongside. It's the ability to share that one and only Jesus Christ with him. For the genius of ministry in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is in the prayer, Lord, lead me and take me. I am your servant. Bless me as I reach out and as I touch your people. How can I serve you? How can I be of support to you? Ministry in the servant's heart and the pastor's heart is no more this than this and no less than this. And when you become Christ, the suffering Christ to people, then indeed you have found the power to work miracles in people's lives. I travel a lot, not only in our district, but in the country. And so airplane travel now has lost its novelty to me. But there's the story of the man in the airport who wanted to know what time it was. And he didn't have a watch with him, and he couldn't find a clock on the wall that was working. And he became frantic. And so he stopped the first person that came along. It was a gentleman carrying two heavy suitcases. And he stopped him and said, can you tell me what time it is? And the man set down the two suitcases and said, sure, I'll tell you. And he looked at his watch and he said to him, my goodness, it's 10:19. And the weather in Madrid is sunny today, although there's a westerly wind blowing in. It's foggy in England and there may be rain later today. You need to know on the East Coast the barometric pressure is falling. And he went on and on with all this information. And the fellow looked at him and said, your watch tells you that? And he said, yes, indeed, it tells me that. It even tells me a lot more. And the fellow who asked for the time said, I'd like to buy that watch. And the guy picked up his big suitcases and said, no, that's one of a kind. And he started trudging off and said, you can't have it. The fellow who wanted the time hesitated once more, and he said, no. He called him, and he said, I really want to buy that watch. And he set his suitcases down, and he said, oh, how much do you want for it? And he said, I'll give you $5,000. No, that's too much. I can't take that yet. It's still, the watch means too much to me to sell it. He picked up the suitcases and started walking again. The fellow said, I've really got to have that watch. Tell you what, fella, I want to really buy that watch. I have $10,000 cash. And the fella set down the big suitcases again and said, okay, you get it for $10,000. He took the watch off. He put it on the other fella, and the fella proudly put it on, handed over the $10,000 in cash, and they parted. And the fella with the newly bought watch started to walk away, and just then the other fella who had the watch with the suitcases said, just a minute. Before you go, you have to take these two heavy suitcases. Those are the batteries for the watch. There's a lot of people carrying a lot of heavy luggage around. It starts with you. There isn't a day past that you don't know what your baggage is. Your baggage could have to do with your parents, with your finances, with a strain within your family, with your grade point, with your aging parents, with a lot of other things. And the Lord removes that baggage by going to the cross and becoming one for us. And the people you run into in your parish will be walking around with their baggage and weights and guilt and job and the rebellious child and having been fired and the flirtation that they were testing out and you name it. And very often they feel the burden of the law. And they're crying out of depths, and they carry their heavy baggage. And ministry is being called to be Christ to them, to bring Christ to them, and to come with his healing word and his touch and his presence. And the pastoral ministry is no less than this and no more than this, but helping find how Jesus Christ lifted the baggage that weighs people down. There was a farmer who raised prize dogs. He was very proud of them, and so he came to the point with this new litter that he was going to sell them, and he painted a sign, "Dogs for Sale," and he put it in the front of his house. He stood back beaming at that sign, and it looked beautiful. He knew customers would arrive. And sure enough, there was the sign on the farm, "Dogs for Sale." The car stopped, and this young boy crawled out, less than 4 feet tall, swirling blonde hair, a little bit of scraggly look to him, outdoor clothes, but still a neat boy. And he said, "I want to buy a dog." And he looked at the farmer, "I really want to buy a dog." And the farmer says, "No, you can't really buy one of these. These are prize dogs, pedigree dogs. They cost a lot of money." But the boy said, "I want to buy that dog." And he looked down, "And I want to see them now, and I want to buy one." And the farmer hesitated again. And he said, "Well, let's start walking to the barn." And they walked. And they walked to the barn, and the little young type dug into his pocket and fidgeted around, finally came up with 89 cents and counted. "I have 89 cents. And he looked at the farmer with searching eyes, kind of an expectant look. Well, the farmer didn't say anything. They kept walking to the barn. And with a shrill whistle and the calling out to the dog by name, out came this magnificent collie with four magnificent pups marching behind it in precision order. And at last but not least came out the fifth puppy, a little bit late, not as big, not as sturdy, not as fast, but trying to bring up the rear, but still coming, and eventually it reached the group. The boy clutched the money and thought, "I can get more. I want that one that's trailing at the end." And the farmer looked at him in dismay and said, "Not that one. That's the runt of the litter. That's the one that can't keep up with anybody. You want that one that's big and strong and active and sturdy, that can keep up with you when you roll and play and toil in the fields, but not that one." And the young lad looked once more at the farmer and said, "No, I want that one. I really do." And then the young boy stooped over, and he rolled up his pants legs. And on his pants legs, you could see a brace that was jutting from his shoe all the way up his leg on either foot. And he said, "I do want that dog. You see, I understand him. He needs me. I can care for him. And I understand what he's all about. And he needs someone who understands him." It's the servant's heart. The people need someone who love them and understand them. And that's what incarnation is all about. Christ came to take our place, to be in pain, to empty himself, to pour himself out, to humble his spirit, to become obedient even unto the death of the cross. And in so coming, he took our place, became one of us. That's what the servant's heart is all about. Brothers, you and I are recipients of God's grace and dispenser of God's grace. He knows how we feel. He wants to be with us now, wounds and all, so that we can bring healing to a broken world. And he touches down and reaches down even to you right now. The pastor with the servant's heart, the pastor with the pastor's heart, is the one who receives this grace of the Lord Jesus incarnate and reaches out daily to his own people and a broken world. That's what ministry is all about. May God bless you as he has called you to this noble calling. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.